Tip of the tongue, teeth and lips. Got to warm up the old lips, Nathan. I was stuttering on the last episode, and it made me cringe.
Tip of the tongue, teeth and lips. Mwah.
Bah, bah. Whoa!
What are you doing?
I think that's one.
Yeah.
Like,
does he do that?
I think I'm getting that mixed up with like Hannah Montana, because I think they do that too.
Oh, it's a banger show too. I feel like you should, just to test your stuttering, you should try and do the intro as fast as possible.
Just doing it at normal pace, I fuck it up.
Just do it.
Welcome back to the Cherryverse Podcast, everybody. This is Daniel, I'm Nathan,
You skipped like half of it.
We read a different trade paperback every week. That's Comic Book Podcast, a comic book club. He's Nathan, I'm Daniel, we're brothers, we read comics.
Nice. That was a good time.
That was all right.
You immediately skipped over like half of it, and you went just to who we are.
There's no like particular order, so I'm just, that was what I remembered first.
Yeah, true. But welcome back, everybody. We're doing some comic stuff. How was your week?
It went by kind of fast. Did this week go by fast for you?
I think it did, yeah.
Like, every day sucked, but it's like Thursday already, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been eventful. I got vaccinated, and then I felt like shit the next day.
Really?
But then I watched Invincible that way, so it was pretty good.
Ooh. Would you get the Moderna?
Yeah.
I heard, like, the second shot, you're supposed to feel like shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the Pfizer.
The first one kind of hit me like a truck. Well, I mean, it wasn't that bad. I was just, like, super hot, but...
Man, I'm getting mine on, like, a Friday, so if I get sick, it'll be, like, during the weekend.
I got mine on a Friday, and I was sick on Saturday.
That fucking sucks. I want to, like, call out of work.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, anyway. I got my hair cut.
Looking fresh and so clean.
Yeah, I was telling you, she's super talkative, but it got to, like, we were talking about just random stuff, whatever she was talking at me about, and then it got to a point where she asked the question, like, do you watch, like, the Marvel stuff? And I was like, oh, God,
here we go. That's kind of like a question that you have to ask people now, like, to see if they're into that kind of shit.
Yeah, and so...
they're super into it or not at all.
And I obviously lie on the super into it. Kind of deal, right. Way more into it than I think that she was probably prepared to
oh, bitch, do I?
I got this, but no, but like, I couldn't go into like, oh, I've seen every movie twice, I'm watching them all again right now, like, I read the comic books that they're based off, I have a podcast with my brother, like, like that's a can of worms that, like, I don't like, I have to be careful when someone asks me, like, hey, do you watch like Marvel stuff? I have to like kind of ease into it.
They're hoping that you're a nerd.
It's like a...
And so you're just answering the question. Like, people in the service industry, they'll do anything to start a conversation.
Yeah.
And so if you give them that answer, they're like, holy fuck, I have a lot to go off of right now.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know. Whenever there's like even like a conversation that I like overhear, like if friends are talking about who would win a fight between like Captain America and
people
fucking...
have that conversation at your work?
Not my work now, but like it would be something that like I would run into where I'd overhear people talking about comics, and then it's like, how deep into this do I go? Like, it's like a fine dance to like not freak people out.
I overheard someone talking about comics. They're like, oh, they're not called comic books anymore. They're called graphic novels. I'm like, okay,
you're so wrong.
I have to butt in here.
Actually, you have to be that guy.
The collected editions are trade paperbacks, sir.
Yeah,
they're still called comics. It's a much cheaper and more efficient way of reading books.
It's a great alternative.
Actually, I have a podcast all about it.
Yeah, actually, that's a great... You bring up a great point.
So I start off as a dick and then sell them something.
Yes, that's how you do it. That's the sales cycle.
Exactly.
But anyway, enough about our podcast.
What do we start with on our podcast?
We start with the news.
Nathan, we got not one, but two Suicide Squad trailers.
Yes, we did.
Did you watch both?
I watched both.
Dude.
It looks pretty good.
Arm fall off boy confirmed.
Yes.
That was what I was most excited about.
Yeah, me too. Is that Nathan Fillion doing it?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. I think they were going to initially keep that a secret because they, like, his character's name, like, AFOB or something.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, the abbreviate, or, like, MGK, something like that. Like, not Machine Gun Kelly, but...
It was something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was
and
an
people,
acronym.
People, like, pieced it together, and it was, like, Arm Fall Off Boy. So now I guess they just, like, released it. Or James Gunn didn't want that to be known in general, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks pretty awesome. I mean...
I like the second trailer a little bit more. It was a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
The first one just had all these bad jokes in it, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say so.
Based off of the first trailer, I was talking to Jordan about this. I'm like, I can't confirm that this will be better than the first one. Because I feel like we're getting the same kind of stuff.
Definitely not. I disagree.
As far as just like sneak peeks into the actual movie. Yeah, we're getting some action. Here's some characters. There's no real like plot so far, which I'm fine with. But like, I'm not like more excited about this than I was about like the first one.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, we've been burned by like a good Suicide Squad trailer before.
Yeah, that was like...
That was a great trailer.
That was brutal. That first one...
Awesome.
I fucking couldn't sleep that night because I was so fucking excited.
Yeah, yeah. So, but this one does feel different in just the sense that it feels like it knows what it is going to be as well. Because it feels like a lot of the David Ayer stuff in the first Suicide Squad got tweaked a little bit. So I do support the Ayer cut. I mean, I know we've just finished like all the Snyder stuff, but I feel like I would have been more interested to see the Ayer cut over the Snyder cut anyways. Like, if you were to ask me like a year ago or whatever.
If it's like along the lines of that first trailer... All day.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I guess there's a bunch of Joker stuff that got snubbed as well. So
yeah.
But I do think that this Suicide Squad will be good. I like...
Just because James Gunn's behind it, I like know it'll be better. But just like based off the trailer, I can't really confirm that.
Yeah. I think it'll be a lot better. It seems like there's tons of characters that are going to die.
And they're also random. I'm super excited for Polka Dot Man. He looks sick.
Polka Dot Man looks great. King Shark looks awesome.
Yeah. He's what he needs to be.
Yeah. We got some interesting ones in there. Like Thinker. What's Pete Davidson's character again? I always forget, but...
It's like Switchblade or something.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like Jackknife.
Did you know that John Ostrander was in the trailer?
John Ostrander. Oh,
he's the creator of Suicide Squad, the original writer.
Oh.
And he's in the movie. And I guess
okay.
He used to be an actor before he was like doing comics or like has acting experience or something. So James Gunn was like talking about that and how that was super cool that he got to do.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Looks fun. I think the biggest meme to come out of it was probably King Shark.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're ripping the dude apart.
The dad bod sort of King Shark. Apparently, he tried to do, like, the hammerhead version, like what's normally in, like, Suicide Squad comics. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a hammerhead shark, but apparently, like, they decided not to go with it because their eyes are, like, so far out and you can't really tell if they're, like, looking at other characters and stuff. So it just, like, doesn't work visually very well.
I thought Pirates of the Caribbean did it pretty well.
Is there a character that has that?
Yeah, I think it's like the second one where there's like that fish, the crew that's like kind of all fishy.
Yeah,
there's fishy crew. Hammerhead one. He's really cool.
Okay. The fishy friends. He's part of them.
The fishy friends.
Okay, good. Yeah. So it looks pretty fun.
Oh, and then we got a little look at Starro as a
potential
villain.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's super crazy.
Is he going to be like a kaiju or is he going to be like what we know as Starro being like this intelligent like extraterrestrial?
He's going to be the one that I assume takes over people's minds. Because
he looks like he's just stomping on people.
He does look like he's stomping on people. I assume he lets out little Starros that are face huggers. Like in the comics. So okay. I imagine that they will have to eventually kind of
He's take been that, like take this true to the comics. There's no way that he'd just like
kinda
cut it short on this.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I agree.
Anyway.
I know you're not a big fan of him, but John Romita Jr. is back at Marvel.
Oh, thank God.
For a big Marvel thing, I guess. We don't really know what it is,
okay,
but Marvel made a big announcement.
He was actually much better in the Marvel stuff that he did, like World War Hulk and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then, like, he's done, like, a handful of things, but I just feel like the quality-wise, and he was kind of a little bit be more towards the norm, like, at Marvel, and at DC is kind of, like, a little bit more relaxed.
Did you read his DC stuff?
I read All-Star Batman.
Okay, yeah.
That he was on with Zack Snyder. Scott Snyder, my bad.
I remember that.
And I was just like, what is this?
Yeah, it seemed like it wasn't that interesting to me in Action Comics either when he was a part of that.
Uh-huh.
With Bendis on Superman. So, like, I don't know. I felt kind of the same way, but I do like a lot of his Marvel stuff. And he drew up a pin-up image for the release, and it looks like genuinely like very good, like a lot of really good energy there. So that's what it looks like. I don't know, it's just a big compilation of characters and stuff, and he draws Captain America's face all cool and stuff. I think he draws a really good Spider-Man as well.
Yeah, he's got a good Spidey. I like his Iron Man here. Hulk I've never had a problem with. His Fantastic Four looks really good. Is that a different artist or is that him?
That's him.
Yeah, that looks sick.
Yeah.
I'd read like a Fantastic Four by him. I think it's just like...
He has a Fantastic Four, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's just him drawing things that have maybe masks on them or something. I don't know. Like a cowl, like on Batman or like...
Maybe. I've always liked him, but...
Yeah, I mean, as the style, as like a style artist, I get it, but
mm-hmm.
it's just off-putting when it's trying to be more like a Jim Lee or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see him as like...
Just a legend, huge AAA artist.
Yeah, I see like his dad maybe, but
yeah.
Anyway,
nice. You got anything else?
Did you know that season 2 of Solar Opposites came out?
Yes,
I did not know that.
It's awesome. I'll talk about it in the pull list.
Okay, don't spoil it though. And okay. Then we got a teaser for Rick and Morty season 5.
Yes,
June 20th, Nathan.
That's much sooner than I think everybody was expecting.
That's like 14 weeks.
Considering like the, it's in 14 weeks.
That's just a guesstimate. It's around that ish. Time.
Yeah.
People are saying like 10 weeks until summer. I'm like, that's like in the middle of summer.
There's like a bigger gap from the last season to the season previous to that. It was like 2 years or something ridiculous, wasn't it? Or like a year and a half.
It's like a year and a half normally between seasons. So I think it ended around like last April because I was watching it on my birthday.
Okay.
So now that that's coming around. So it's like about a year. So they're getting a little bit more consistent, I guess. Or
a year and some change.
Yeah, that's so like, not bad. That's fair.
Cool.
To expect of a show.
I was expecting not to have another season for a while. So
yeah, I thought I was. If anything, just rewatching.
I was like, maybe
because I probably forgot most of the things that happened.
Yeah, I was watching the trailer and I was like, what the fuck even happened last season?
Yeah, like it's gotten to such a point where there's so much and like
just
it's not just like there's an alien or whatever here.
Just bring back Evil Morty. Bring some continuity.
Evil Morty is one of the best villains on that show.
Yeah.
I love it so
and
much.
He's barely even there.
Yeah. He's in like one episode a season.
Yeah. Do you know who Jensen Ackles is? He's the one of the guys on Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
He has
the
just
actor.
Been... Yeah, the actor. He's just been cast as Batman in Batman The Long Halloween, the animated movie.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yep. And there's other stars that will include Josh Duhamel as Harvey Dent. A couple different names that I don't really know. But
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like big actor Josh Duhamel.
Yeah, like he's going to be in Jupiter's Legacy, like as far as I know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just what I remember him currently from.
There's going to be a Calendar Man in there. There's going to be a Carmine Falcone. There's an actor named Naya Rivera as Selina Kyle. I'm not familiar with it.
Uh-huh.
And then Troy Baker as the Joker, who's a very famous
voice actor.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. When's that movie coming?
No idea.
All right. So
he's just been cast.
Should we read The Long Halloween for like that shit coming?
You know, I'm okay with doing that because it seems like it's kind of far out. So I have enough time to mentally prepare.
I think it's a part one, part two kind of thing.
The Long Halloween?
Yeah. Like the movies. That are coming out.
Oh.
It's going to be like a part one. So we can read like the first half.
I'd be cool with that.
Definitely down.
seems like a long one. Daniel, today, as we're recording, it is April 1st.
Yeah.
Also known as the worst fucking day to pick any side of kind
of
news.
People, I feel like, don't actually joke on April Fool's Day until like this year happened.
This year's been... fucking wild. And I got duped for comics news that I thought was huge.
Oh, like the... Snyder universe?
No.
Oh, I got that. I'm like, no shit.
It was a post from Archie Comics, and it was like one of those like just yellow cards with like a bunch of text on it, and it was from Archie Comics saying, for 80 years we've been publishing stories about Archie Andrews and his pals Jughead, Betty, Veronica, Reggie, and all his other kids. That all changes today as we go forward under our new name, Jughead Comics. And I was like, oh my fucking God, that's crazy. and like the rest of it just reads like, it's 2021. We realize that as iconic of a character as Archie is, Jughead is even more iconic because he represents the best element of all of us. Also, this is obviously a joke and this is not. And I was like, fuck. So it like got me like they branded like their Twitter. They changed the name to Jughead Comics. Like, it seemed like very real up until like that point.
I just saw like so many like ones from like sports pages, whereas like these major trades that were like gonna change a lot. I'm like, fuck. And I realized it was posted by a meme page. So
yeah.
I'm like, this is my fault.
I felt dumb for getting duped. I forgot what day it was. This is dumb. And I like didn't get caught from like other ones. Like I saw that like Boss Logic posted like a Daredevil thing trying to tease at like a Disney Plus Daredevil series or something.
I thought that was just cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
It was just an April Fool's joke, but
I saw something today. I didn't look into it to see if it was fake or not. It sounds kind of real.
Okay.
But the Trench and the New Gods movies were shelved.
That sounds pretty real.
Because I guess they were like a part of the Snyderverse, and I guess they're just not moving forward with them. That doesn't sound like something so devastating to be a good April Fool's joke.
I believe the Trench, that's just like, I didn't think that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
New Gods,
I'm like, ah, it kind of sucks.
New Gods feels like it should come out.
Yeah, it seems like that could be by itself. And have Darkseid like a little, and then everything else.
Yeah, because who is the director behind it? I forget her name. Director.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with their work. I think she just got nominated.
She did like a.
Or she won something.
Yeah, she did a Disney movie, and then she did a documentary that I think won some stuff. Ava DuVernay. That's what it is.
Right.
So
that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. She was also working pretty heavily with Tom King. It was like one of Tom King's first like screenwritten stuff.
Ah. That sucks, because that'd be cool. I love when, like...
That'd be a cool win for him, you know?
Yeah. What was I... I was saying that I was watching Falcon the Winter Soldier last week, and I saw, like, a comic writer, like, credited from, like, writing and, like, producing and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's a comic writer. And then, like, Sarah's like, yeah, I would think, like, comic writers be involved in this. I'm like, okay, shut the fuck up.
And, yeah, you're just like, yeah, you think, don't
it's,
you?
It's mostly movie it's and the- TV people.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember who it was, but it's still cool.
What was the thing that you were watching?
Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Oh, like
the show? Like the first one? The first episode?
Was it like an older guy? Was it like Rick Remender? Or like Nick Spencer?
I feel like it was like one of the older legend kind of guys.
Okay. Interesting. That's everything I have.
We got a Bad Batch trailer, Nathan.
I didn't watch it.
It looks pretty cool. It looks just like another one of these.
When's that come out again?
Shows. Oh, May the 4th.
Oh. That's like next month.
That's pretty soon. I gotta.
We should read a Star Wars trade for when it comes out, because we haven't done that since Darth Vader, and that was forever ago.
That was like, we were in a different house, Nathan.
Yeah, we were.
So, do you know Randall Park?
Yes.
Do you know who he plays?
Jimmy Woo.
Yes, sir. Just checking. He's making his directorial debut, adapting a comic book called Shortcomings.
Okay.
Do you know that book?
It sounds familiar.
I don't know it either, but okay. I thought that was exciting.
That is cool.
So,
the Jimmy Woo verse expands
to something independent.
Yeah, that's cool. That guy's fucking awesome.
He
honestly
knows no universe barriers.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That guy's fucking awesome. Okay, as well.
So you know how like Invincible came out like kind of a couple hours early last week?
Yeah,
like 9 or something. Jordan's like convinced that this episode comes out at 9 today. I'm like, I think they just let it out early for the premiere, but I'm pretty sure it comes out like on Friday.
Huh.
And so I have like this like bet with him that's not actually real because he has kids and no money to bet.
Right.
But I just can't wait to tell him that he's wrong when it actually comes out like 12 p.m.
Those are still big stakes.
12 a.m. Yeah. Because I don't have a lot of firepower as far as proving him wrong, but he always has something to complain about.
I hope he's right.
Oh my god. Alright, anyway, that's everything I had, I think.
Yep, that's everything I had. So
cool.
It was a bit of a lighter week, but we get to go into a very big book.
What do you mean? Last week was 4 issues.
No, I'm saying as far as news, it was lighter week this week. But still a very big book that we get to talk about. So the book that we read this week was The Ultimates by Mark Millar, Brian Hitch, and some other people that I keep forgetting to get the names of everybody, so give me just 1 second.
And you've never read this?
I had never read this before.
Wow. I think this is included in like a lot of lists of like best comic books.
Andrew Curry was the...
Was he colorist?
Colorist, I believe. So, yeah. And this is a very interesting book because of the history behind it.
How so?
So... I did like a little bit of research, but most of this is kind of off the top of my head from what I've heard from like...
Off the dome.
From just like interviews that I've listened to like years prior, even before we did this. But this is like a very interesting time in Marvel Comics.
How so?
So Marvel...
Elaborate.
This book came out in around the 2000s.
2010?
No. 2002 is when this book specifically came out.
Actually? Oh.
The trade maybe 2010. That seems like it'd be too long, but...
Because they're talking about a lot of movie stuff.
Yes.
Oh, 2007. So that's before the movies, right?
Correct.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so which is why this is even more interesting. But can you believe, Daniel, in 1996, you were alive at this point.
Yeah, I was a baby.
Marvel was down bad, living in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
I don't know what that means, but I know bankruptcy is
bad. They're down bad, and they got no monies. Okay, it got to the point where it's like famous that they were like selling filing cabinets and shit to like keep the lights on.
Right.
So they had no money, and comics themselves were pretty down bad as well. Apparently, all of comics industry was about $1 billion in 1993, and you're like, that sounds pretty good, but it went all the way down to $270 million in 1999, and that's comic books all up. Marvel, DC, all the independent stuff, like the industry like took a huge nosedive. Mm-hmm. So Marvel's pretty almost bankrupt at this point, and they were revived by this guy named Ike Perlmutter and another dude named Arad, I think. But then like Joe Quesada became editor-in-chief, but it's just kind of weird to think that like Marvel was in sort of a very, very poor state, and they had to kind of figure out, come up with a game plan, like what do we do to keep this industry going kind of deal.
Right.
So they determined, you know, that continuity made it impossible for teens and new readers to pick up comics, and they wanted to turn all of the now middle-aged heroes into teens again, because all of the heroes in like the normal universe have gone through like years and years of comics, and they've like aged up to like their 30s kind of deal, and then there's decades of continuity before that makes it hard for like new readers to join in, which mm-hmm. I totally understand. But then like reboots were never really successful, so they started what's called the Ultimate Universe, which is what this book is set in. And it's a separate continuity that reimagines the characters from the normal books, but with the same affinity for the heroes that were in them, but with none of the confusing continuity and crossovers to keep in mind. And so this was like a last-ditch Hail Mary attempt to stay above bankruptcy. And it started with Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men, and then this book came later. So okay. They hired on Brian Michael Bendis, who's an up-and-coming guy. He was doing like some Daredevil at the time for like Marvel Knights and stuff. But he like says a lot in like interviews that he thought he was writing some of like the last comics to like ever exist for Marvel. And
that sounds just scary.
I know, isn't that like such a weird thing? And he was
just like, if as like readers, like if this happened like this year, I'd be like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, I'd be shitting my pants. Like this is like there's a lot of like really cool things in comics, and just for whatever reason, they weren't like landing super well. So
I think it makes me happy.
Yeah. So he thinks he's writing some of the last comics to ever make. They also hired Mark Millar to be on Ultimate X-Men and stuff, but Bendis was on Ultimate Spider-Man. That was the first one to be released, and they wanted it to be such a huge like smash success that they got creative with like the marketing of it. So rather than it just being in like normal comic stores, since this is like a fresh start, they went to like Walmart, and they even went to like Payless Shoes to like put their comic in. And I guess there was like a preview, like 9-12 page like preview of Ultimate Spider-Man in like every single kid's shoe.
Oh, sick.
So
can
like
you imagine?
Yeah, I know.
You try to put some Crocs on.
I'd fucking buy that. I'd buy that fucking shoe.
Yeah.
And you get like, you know, and obviously not everybody was converted in like a comic book reader, but that's like a way for people to get introduced into comics, because it can be kind of like a niche feeling thing to go into like a comic shop and pick up a random book.
It's got to be intimidating. I still get intimidated.
Yeah, it is.
I'm like, I don't even know if what I want is here.
There's a lot to look at. A lot of them don't even like mark where the new releases are, which is insane.
Oh yeah,
if Madness. Someone walks into a comic book shop, they're very vulnerable, you know. You got to tell them, you got to walk them through like what's going on here.
Yeah, they might go straight at the back issues or something.
Yeah, and that
a terrible
shit sucks.
Mistake they're buy a number four or something.
Yeah, and I've done that
countless times.
I think that's part of like I think it's kind of a funny part of like getting into comics is like you don't know what you're doing. So you just like
you don't know how stupid you are.
You buy random stuff. I remember buying like the Flash issue like 73 or something that was published in like the 80s, and I was like, this issue looks cool, and I had no idea what was going on. But it's something you gotta like embrace, I feel like.
I had someone like buy comics for me, and I told them that I was reading Darth Vader when that was coming out, this last run.
Yeah.
And they bought like, you know, five in a row, like 5-10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like three of them were from the run that I was reading, and then two were from the previous run.
Oh,
but they couldn't know that because there's literally nothing differentiating them except for the writer, but they weren't looking at that, you know.
Oh,
I mean?
That sucks.
So I'm like, you're so stupid.
So one issue is like, oh yeah, this is great stuff.
Yeah, like, one was like Kieran Gillen
or yeah, whatever. Kieran Gillen did it after Charles, I think. Or vice versa. He did
before Charles. Okay. And I think, I don't know who does it now, but yeah, and then Charles Soule. And so I just had like two issues. I'm like, the person who works there should have been like, hey, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Are you trying to buy this series?
Yep. It's crazy. But it can be hard to like get people into this stuff because they don't understand like how it works and how interesting it is when it like clicks.
Don't you feel so smart just thinking about that?
I kind of, but like it's been a lot of me just kind of like just trying random shit, buying random trades and random issues and just seeing like what I like kind of deal. It's amazing that anybody's into comics, honestly.
Yeah.
So I think that trades is like a really great way to get people into comics in general.
Which makes our podcast so great, Nathan.
It's so great. Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
But also a great way to get people into comics is to have Spider-Man in your shoe. Did you ever think about that? Who thought of that?
You know, it's not a bad idea like, to get it like literally everywhere.
Getting comics into Walmart, like that makes sense because like everybody goes to Walmart.
Yeah, so, like, they still do that.
But then to be like, how do we target kids? We should target kids through shoes.
Yeah. And then, what do all kids have? Shoes.
Shoes.
What else do they all have? Feet. They can put feet into the shoes.
Great idea.
Put comic in the shoes and then the feet in the shoes. They like the comic.
And then, yeah. And then they pick up the comic with their feet. Read it.
Flip the page with their toes.
So I guess like, after that, like they were like really like doubling down trying to make Ultimate Spider-Man work. And after it proved to be working, they did like Ultimate X-Men as well. And then eventually created Ultimates, the book that we're holding, in September 2002. They took like a largely like cinematic approach to the Ultimates. And I think that's kind of shown here. It's kind of like an interesting part of the book as well.
Yeah, like just kind of like the angles of things, like Giant Man's in this, and you're always like looking up at him, and he looks gigantic when you do that.
Yeah, the perspective and scale of everything like looks really cinematic. So,
and Brian Hitch is definitely the person to give this vibe off.
Yeah,
and so
100%. So, and then they also wanted to take the approach of like creating like extremely flawed heroes and like creating controversial issues, which is what Mark Millar is like really good at. Because
This is very problematic.
Yeah, so. But that's what they wanted. They wanted to like kind of stir up some of that.
Okay,
like
that gives realism. Some insight because I'm like, I don't like these people.
A lot of them. I'm like this fucking like these people aren't like likable.
Like Thor's a douche.
Yeah, I like Thor though. Thor's good.
Giant Man's a prick.
Yeah, Giant Man sucks in this, and Hank Pym's not good in like the normal continuity either. But even still, like everybody in here feels like, man, these people suck.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's like it was kind of just. You know, it was created for that to be different from like the status quo of like every superhero in these bright, funky costumes are perfect people, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that really resonated. So it created a huge commercial success, and they were like a 3-for-3 with like Ultimate titles, and that kind of kicked off this whole universe. So,
right.
It's a very, I just love talking about it. I think this is such a weird like time in Marvel Comics that they were just like literally doing anything, doing the craziest thing to try and get people reading, essentially.
I don't know what it was, but like as me and Sarah going through like the new Marvel movies, I explained to her like why all the universes are different as far as like Sony, Fox, and Marvel.
Yeah.
And I explained to her like how like Warren Buffett like took a lot of the characters as like collateral for the money that they put up for Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Warren Buffett saved the Marvel like, comic industry.
In ways, yeah, I guess you could.
And he's kind of the reason all these like got started. And
yeah,
so, and then I explained like what all the acquisitions meant and why like certain like studios have certain characters and whatnot. And I could tell she like did not care very much, but
yeah,
I got going, you know.
Yeah, you gotta let them know.
So it's super exciting.
Yeah,
like how close they were to kicking the bucket.
Yeah, and that if you were to like tell somebody that didn't know that now, like, hey, did you know Marvel was almost bankrupt like 20 years ago?
Here, do you want to listen to me talk about the history of Marvel for 30 minutes?
Well, not that, but it's just like crazy to think that like this household name, like the most profitable movie studio of all time, I think,
pretty much
is what they are, was almost bankrupt. None of this ever happened.
Right.
So crazy
think
stuff.
Think how shitty our world would be.
It would be the worst.
We have just like a bunch of subpar superhero movies.
The best superhero movie we'd have to deal with is Ben Affleck's Daredevil, which is an all right movie, I guess.
Yeah, it's all right.
But anyway, let's get into it. So Ultimates 2002, again, by Mark Millar, Brian Hitch, Andrew Curry. and a different sort of take on the Avengers. But so issue one.
It's 1945, Nathan.
Yep. The world is at war. The Allies caught word of a doomsday weapon that the Nazi command has pointed straight at Washington.
Cap's got to stop it.
Yeah, it's no good. So the Allies send an airborne division down, backed by the only person capable of stopping such a weapon.
Bucky Barnes.
Captain America. Close.
Him too.
Bucky Barnes is just there to take pictures because he's a photographer in this.
Is he? He's like a soldier in normally, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in this one, he's Cap's buddy.
Yeah. Or,
they're normally buddies, but Bucky was definitely like a soldier before, but in this one he's just like taking pictures. So that's kind of like setting the stage.
And he's a smoker because that's edgy.
Yeah,
that's what they're super trying to do. Edgy. That's what they're trying to do in this universe.
Yeah, and this is like a really like this is genuinely like a war comic. Like
this is quality war comics right here.
Like the scale of everything in this. Like I think that. Like
drawing so many soldiers in with the same uniform and stuff,
just yeah, tremendous sense of scale. Really, there's so many like parachutes going on, and like if the coloring of it makes it feel like sort of like mucky and like dark, I guess.
A lot of blacks,
yeah. So and there's like it's like the raining. Colors. There's explosions. There's like shit happening, and it feels
the rain lines over top makes it so much more intense.
It's so good. Like
it's like it's raining, but there's fire still. How does that happen?
It sets the stage perfectly, honestly, but. So Cap leads the troops into like this huge battle to try and break into this big fortress that the Nazis are using to launch the missile. After everybody drops out of the plane, Cap flies that carrier plane through the walls of the base while everyone else enters in on foot. But it's too late, Daniel. The Nazis launch the missile.
Oh no.
And it begins to like thrusting. What do you call that?
Throbbing.
It starts throbbing to try and take off.
What
is it called when it's like the fire is hitting the ground but it's not going up yet?
Well, it's the thrusters that do that. So
the missile's thrusting. Is that what it is?
I don't think thrusting's the verb.
Okay, so while the missile's thrusting, Cap jumps on it. Cap jumps on it. He's like, I need to stop this missile from thrusting.
Cap's dropping on the thrusting missile.
Yeah. And so he jumps on it to try and like take it down.
I'm going to Google what they're correct.
Dude, this Cap costume is so weird, right?
Like it is weird, but I like it a lot. Like he's got this like
it's really cool, but I can't get past the face.
Yeah, I think because I like it because I've seen it before and it's not as shocking anymore. But yeah, he's got this like nose guard thing.
Yeah,
and it's like
that goggles, are also goggles,
and he's got the A on his helmet.
It looks like part of a Batman cowl, but it goes up into his normal like Captain America like war helmet.
Yeah,
so it's super weird.
It's hard to describe, but
I've always liked this version of the shield as well. It's not like a circle, but like a normal shield shape.
Yeah,
I think that's always been kind of cool. And it's just weird to see Captain America with like guns, like Tommy guns and shit too.
Right.
He's got lots of pouches on him. I think it's a really great design, honestly.
Definitely.
So while midair, Cap rips off the panel on the missile, and then he puts a grenade into it to try and stop it mid-flight. The missile blows up in the upper atmosphere, and then Cap falls into the water, dead, presumably. And there's like a pre-written letter that gets sent to his girlfriend, Gail, with like a message to her saying like all this crazy stuff, how much he loves her, stuff like that. And that's kind of it for Cap. He saves America and the war, but he at the expense of his own life. And then the next couple pages is Tony Stark conquering Mount Everest in 2002. Basically, that's it. He's kind of like taking a break from running his billion-dollar businesses, but it's just him and Mount Everest kind of taking like a spiritual journey, I guess.
Did you say Cap went in the water?
Yep, Cap went in the water.
Yeah, he's probably frozen.
He wasn't frozen yet at this point. I mean, he's just kind of like sinking down, but I really do like that scene because you just see him land in the water, and then he gets kind of like deeper and deeper and darker into like the ocean.
Mm-hmm. The pacing of this book is great.
It really is.
Because I'm like, oh, we're on issue two now.
Yeah.
And it's just super refreshing. It's definitely like the normal big two kind of progression. I don't know how many pages that is.
I guess, but like, doesn't this feel like a weird way to start a book that's supposed to be like the Avengers as well?
Yeah, this doesn't seem like what you'd expect as far as like a number one.
For like a team book.
Because you really have to establish... Well, you don't have to, but normally they really establish like what the book is about and like all the characters are introduced at first.
But this one's like a slow start for sure.
Yeah, like we just see like Tony Stark
kind barely.
Of And then we just see a really cool war scene.
Yeah, and it was a great war scene. Like, I would have kept going because I was like, this artist is great. Like, it looks, looks pretty cool. But yes, it just seems odd that, like, on the front cover, you see Cap and Thor and all the other, like, Avengers on there. And then this is, like, a war story and they're not, like, together yet.
I think that's what they're kind of banking on.
Yeah.
Be like, just keep reading it.
And you'll see them together.
Give me more. I like how quickly they, like, didn't get into this. Like,
yeah.
Like, all right, the team's all here. Here's the bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's cool seeing, like, the team come together in this book, I think.
Uh-huh, definitely.
I just wasn't expecting like the first issue to be like that, but it's a ballsy way to start, which is, I guess, what they were going for. So
I love origin stuff, and then it's always really cool to look at these Elseworld kind of things to see like how they develop, because you know how they develop, but how it's different in this universe. So that's always fun.
That's always an interesting part too. Like, you know how it typically goes, but you don't need to know like everything about how it typically goes. As long as you know like the basic beats, you can kind of delineate what's different from like the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's like kind of exciting because you're experiencing something new.
Yeah, I love just kind of picking out like, that's wrong or that's different.
That's wrong. Mark Millar, you did it wrong. He's not a photographer, idiot.
Cancel him.
And I don't think I've ever commented on something like this before as far as art, but aren't these mountains like fucking gorgeous?
Insane. Like, are you kidding me?
They're just incredible mountains, like of Mount Everest. Like, the rendering on them is unbelievable.
Looks like Bob Ross was included on this.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
like,
crazy.
It's that level of like artistry, I think, that is just insane. And it's like a double page spread of just mountains and then a silhouette of Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff. But yeah, anyway,
incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen Brian Hitch like do landscapes like this, but definitely nails it.
He's like really great at
everything.
Like, everything, honestly. Yeah, it's no wonder he was on Batman just before this.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely deserved to be on Batman.
Sure. So issue 2, we're in New York, and the Nick Fury of this universe looks like Sam Jackson, but we'll get to that later.
Wow.
He's in control of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he restarts the Super Soldier program that made Captain America a thing. Dr. Bruce Banner himself, he is the head of this research program, and he's still kind of recovering from testing the Super Soldier serum on himself, which was unstable and turned him into the Hulk. So that's another thing that's wrong, you know, as you said, but
I thought he had like his own like gamma radiation or something that he like got rid of. He was testing the super soldier.
Correct.
Oh no, he was trying to make his own.
He was trying to make his own super soldier serum because Nick wanted him to. So he recruited mm-hmm. Bruce Banner, and so okay. he thought he had it tested on himself. It was unstable, and he became the Hulk. Whereas the typical origin is the explosion and then radiation, and then he's the Hulk, right?
Right.
But this is a much different like approach to it.
Yeah. So he's not just on the verge of becoming the Hulk if he gets mad or something.
I think that's still kind of at play, but he's also recovering from like the super soldier serum.
So he's basically like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of thing. He just like needs to be injected with it in order for him to Hulk out.
That's what it seems like, because he's kind of recovering from an incident where he was the Hulk and was like destroying part of New York.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, because I know Stan Lee based the Hulk off of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right.
So it's kind of getting closer to that,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of neat.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like a more realistic, kind of down-to-earth way to like get superpowers, I guess. I mean, it's just like magic serum, but at least it's not like someone surviving like an explosion, I guess.
Right.
So it just feels a little bit more natural. But no one's been able to really crack the code of the super soldier serum since Cap died in the war. But they want to get a new Captain America to lead a team of 5 superpowered people that mm-hmm. will fight off supervillains. So I think we were just talking about his landscapes. I think Brian Hitch is really great at cities as well. Like this first shot of New York, so many like buildings and shit, and it takes up like the whole page.
Oh yeah, kick ass.
And
I've drawn a building before. They fucking suck.
Each building is distinct. It looks different from one another. There's different actual
architecture.
Yeah.
All the fucking windows.
Yeah. There's
pain
like
in the dick.
Exactly. Yeah. So super like meticulous detail that I really like. We do get the first appearance of Nick Fury as a guy that looks like Sam Jackson. It's actually based off Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
As well.
They use his likeness for this, which is what like surprises me because of how many references they have to the movies, as far as like, you know, him saying like if there was a movie, Sam Jackson would be
this is all this is before Iron Man came out. initially and like kicked off.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts that they're even referring
to
it.
Like, I don't believe you, but I have the evidence in front of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's that like bizarre. So very cool. And then, yeah, so Nick Fury also gets billionaire Tony Stark involved for his Iron Man armor and his trusted brand name because he wants to get this team started off right and good with the media. Tony Stark agrees, saying that he's kind of turned a new leaf and wants to start giving back.
Dude, what's this shit on him when he gets out of the suit?
He mentions it. It's just a bunch of green slime. I'm not sure what it is specifically.
Like residue?
Yeah.
Gross. Maybe he needs like lube to get in there?
Something from like his previous adventure. I don't really know.
But
while like Nick Fury and Tony Stark are talking, Tony gets a call like... That's his schedule for the day because he's doing a bunch of like famous person, rich guy stuff. Mm. But one of those things includes dinner with Cameron Diaz. And it's funny that Cameron Diaz was like a name drop in this time period.
Yeah. Like, whoa, wow.
And that's like kind of a, like, that's kind of a surprising thing in this is that they name drop a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like they name drop like Freddie Prinze Jr. is like a big part of the book later on.
Who's Freddie Prinze Jr.?
He's Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
and that's what I know him as, but at this time I guess he was like he was doing like a bunch of like chick flicks and stuff like that. He was like super hot at this time.
Did you know that he actually married like the actress who played like not Velma, the other one in Scooby Doo?
Daphne,
yeah.
That's cool.
They're like married, yeah.
Good for them.
I thought that was cool.
Nice.
Scooby Doo for life.
Absolutely. The movie brings people together. But yeah, there's a lot of like name drops in here. They like talk about Matthew McConaughey, I think, at one point and stuff like that. So it's just interesting because you don't really see that or maybe like people are more scared of that now. I don't know why. Like it felt so weird like reading like real people's names. But yeah, it's just interesting.
Did you pick up on that bit where Nick Fury is talking to Tony Stark about like why mutants aren't on the team?
Yeah.
So what did... Did you get why?
So he says that they like he didn't want the Fantastic Four mutants on there because they had like bad rap against them essentially.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why, but I'm pretty sure it's probably because of something that was done in Ultimate X-Men, which was published just before this.
Okay. Gotcha.
But in general, like X-Men are kind of hated.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of assuming, but I wasn't sure if there's like something else there.
Yeah. So then we kind of get to Hank and Janet Pym. They're married together. Hank is a scientist credited with giving his wife Janet shrinking powers and becoming the Wasp. And then he has also just figured out how to make himself into Giant Man, which is about... He like turns himself 60 feet tall. Can't really go past that or else he starts breaking down.
I guess the body... Like, they explain it really well, but I guess...
Bones
like,
don't support themselves once you get past 60 feet.
Yeah, and so like he... Whatever he injects himself with, like, makes him grow, but the body stops itself from growing to a certain point.
Yeah, which is why he's, like, about a little under 60 feet.
Which is insane, but yeah. I like that explanation.
It's cool. Yeah, I like it, too.
Which is why the Wasp can only get so small.
Yeah, and I like that, you know, he does this. He turns himself into Giant Man successfully, and he's kind of, like, bragging about it to Bruce Banner. And then we also find out that Bruce Banner is on like a relationship break with Betty Ross, which is General Ross's daughter.
Yep.
And he's super bummed about it. So, and again, like this is another cinematic one where just like the scale of Giant Man compared to like the other people that are on the ground. It just like is a really cool looking shot.
He's like always like kneeled down.
Yeah.
So he always looks like gigantic.
And I feel like if he's not, you know, to get really meticulous, he looks a lot taller than 60 feet. Because if you look at the people, like, they're not much taller than, like, his ankle. And if assuming they're about, like,
five
to 6 feet tall, it seems like more than 10 of them would stack to try and, like, match his height, I guess.
So it'd be 12 of them to be 60 feet, right?
If they're 5 feet, yeah.
Assuming they're 5 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably, like, 100 feet tall, honestly.
Yeah, probably, yeah, between 60 and 100.
Like,
but
he might be 60, like, kneeling down like that.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. But anyway, Brian Hitch obviously has a really great sense of anatomy as well. There's a lot of people that are naked in this book, which I don't know if I'm completely for 100% of the time.
I always like it.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
It makes sense that
there's a lot of flashing in this.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is Marvel.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
It makes sense that he would be naked in this first scene because they don't know how to make, like, growing, like, bigger clothes or, like, Right. Shit like that. So that I was cool with. I was like, he actually looks kind of good.
It's not like you see a dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was this under like the Max banner? No.
No. So, no, just Ultimate.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you're right. Like, you don't really see dick or like boobs or anything. It's just there's more naked people than I thought I would have seen.
Yeah. It's weird how it seems to be going back and forth as far as like censorship.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still cool and like almost like refreshing to see in like Marvel.
Yeah, I would agree. While Banner is cracking kind of under the pressure of not getting the super soldier serum going, Nick Fury calls with info that they just recovered Steve Rogers frozen in ice. So that gives them some stuff to work on. And that's how issue two ends. But then in issue three, so Hank Pym's kind of fucking around in his new giant man form and his new costume, which I'm not a big fan of, I guess, as far as the design aspect of it. Just a big brown suit.
Yeah, it's like leather.
You think it'd get really hot?
I think, yeah, definitely. I think I only like it just because I'm like familiar with it.
Does he grow into it or does he get big and he's naked for a bit and then he gets into that suit? Because it doesn't, you don't ever see him in this suit when it's small.
Yeah, I think he has to get big and gets into it.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Because, spoilers, but like later there's like a scene where they're going to fight the bad guy or whatever, and they pick him up by like helicopters.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he just can ride in a plane and then get big later.
Yeah.
He's like big already because he's got to be suited up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I think that's
where I thought that was just like the best mode of transportation, but I didn't even think that he could have just been small and then gotten big when he was there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like...
they would have to transport his clothes, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And then there's, like, another scene where he's, like, not dressed up, but he has to go big for a second. And
yeah.
And he's, like, naked again.
Yep. So, meanwhile, Banner is leading the effort to try and revive the perfectly preserved Captain America. So, Steve Rogers, he wakes up and is told that he's been out for 57 years. Steve thinks it's like a Nazi trick and he breaks out and then is stopped by Hank Pym with his like big hand. And then Bruce thinks that the serum turning him into the Hulk is also like out of his system. So he kind of like tells everybody that like the excitement of Steve Rogers like shooting guns and trying to break out would have probably turned him into the Hulk, but he didn't. So he must be a lot better now. So this is also like a Hulk where you don't see him as often. So I think when we do finally see him later, it like feels like a much bigger problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's very cool.
So
also, a Wasp gets super nude when she goes small. So I guess she has small clothes that she then has to put on.
Right.
So
I guess they're just not. I think it's not like an excuse to have naked people, but
just kind of like feel.
That's where they're at with like the technology at the moment,
I guess,
because the Iron Man suit has flaws.
Exactly.
You know, they're just discovering all these like superpower things and trying to make them work. So yeah. That kind of makes it a little bit more exciting as far as the stakes.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a perfect world, I guess.
Yeah, where it doesn't seem like anyone has like plot armor.
Yeah,
so like, exactly. Any of these people could die because they're not really bulletproof or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
Nick, some side boob that's exciting. Some mini side boob.
Yep. We see lots of Hank Pym's thighs in this. He's got great thighs.
Good thighs. Killer calves.
Nick Fury and Steve go visit Bucky, who's now super old and married to his previous girlfriend, Gail, which is super awkward. But obviously, they both thought that he was dead, so, like, you can't really get mad at them at the same time.
But, like, there's so many people in the world, you know? It's like, this is how it pans out.
But you could probably see how they would both bond over Steve's death, maybe, and then, like, it's not surprising.
Not a bonding moment, Nathan.
Not bond, but, like... They're coming from like the same place where like their best friend is dead, you know. You know, now I say it out loud, it is really weird to like
super fucked marry. Up, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, like you can't really get mad at him. At least I don't think.
Yeah.
But Bucky is like super happy to see him, he like hugs him, and then Gail like just doesn't want him to see her like that.
Yeah.
which is kinda cruel. Then like Nick catches Steve up on his dead relatives, which leads into Steve accepting to join this Ultimates team because his country is all he has left, Daniel.
Yep, he's got nothing to live for except for his country.
It's really fucked up hearing like how everybody you know like dies, but Steve like wanted to know how it all happened, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, he like Nick Fury just kind of digs it all up and figures out what happened, like his friends, and just like I think he had a brother or something in this.
Yeah, and just tells it to him like one after another.
So yeah, it's gotta be brutal. Like imagine you wake up tomorrow.
and you're dead.
And there's a story about how I died.
Yeah.
Like 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I think they do really good capturing, like, Cap out of his own time kind of feel.
Yeah, because you're almost, like, expecting, like, oh, sick, we have Cap. We have the team now. Let's get to fighting or whatever.
Yeah, everything's happy now. But this is taking a toll on him, obviously.
Which I love that for, like, his character development. Because I don't think I've actually read, like, too much of any Captain America.
Yeah.
So as far as, like, origin stuff like this, it's super cool.
Yeah. And he even says, like, pretty heavy lines, like, you should have left me in the ice where I belonged kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I
don't say that.
I think that, like, lands super well. So
we need you.
So there's a big events. There's a big Ultimates event being held at the Triskelion in Manhattan, where Nick Fury is talking to President Bush about Captain America. And then we see Steve in his new and improved costume. It's kind of surprising to see, like, George Bush's face.
Yeah, I'm like, why have I seen this?
Like, because...
You, like, just forget.
It's been a thing, like, I think ever since this, almost, where, like, every president, you don't see their face. And yeah, I don't know...
Obama's been in stuff.
Like, barely, though. But, like, a lot of, like, big books, especially in, like event books, like Civil War and other ones, like, there's a president in there, and, like, Captain America or whoever is talking to the president.
It's always, but, like, ambiguous, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you don't either, like, their face is cut off from the panel, or they're in, like, silhouette just kind of talking. So,
yeah.
It's really weird to see a very blatant George Bush, and he draws a great George Bush.
Yeah, super solid.
Also, that's the end of issue 3, and kind of a slow start to the book still, but not... It's a good thing as well. Like, there's no sense of a supervillain, because they're, like, bringing a team together in case there's a supervillain, but you don't get any hint of that.
If there was, like... a version of this trade where there wasn't the breaks in between where it shows the covers,
yeah,
it might seem kind of slow, but because of those breaks it kind of feels kind of fast to me.
Yeah,
but yeah, as far as, like, action wise is really not that much.
Not only that, but it's just like there's not really, like, a sense of, like, what are we building to. And that's not, I'm
the
not
ultimate
saying that's
Nathan, it's on the front.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing necessarily, but, like, you don't know what big bad is kind of gonna get in the way, and I think it's cool In this sense, specifically.
Yeah.
So, agreed. Issue 4, Tony Stark is on Larry King's show talking about the Ultimates and, of course, how much they're needed and stuff. And it's talked about that they still haven't been able to figure out the Super Soldier Serum, which makes Banner feel pretty deep in his feels, as we can see. And then Janet helps Steve get some new clothes and move into his very modest apartment in New York, which they find was broken into.
Oh, Shannon Elizabeth is real. Okay.
What do you mean?
So he's, like, in space while he's, like, doing
on Larry
interview.
King. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, Shannon Elizabeth is here. And she's, like, an actor. She's,
I guess. What is she in?
Wait, what?
I'm going to look it up.
What is she in? I got it right here. I guess she's in American Pie.
Okay.
But I've seen her before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's in a lot of American Pies. She's in Scary Movie. So not a very good actor, apparently.
Maybe she's hot at the time. Maybe American Pie was big at this time.
Yeah.
Who knows? And I think, like, actors had to, like, sign off on their likeness. Like, I know that Samuel L. Jackson definitely did for Nick Fury.
You've seen her before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Interesting. I think that, like, I think I was complimenting Brian on, like, his New York, but when he gets, like, really deep down and, like, onto the streets, it feels like a very genuine, like, New York that I've never seen in a comic, because it just looks very busy. There's, like, full of it's, like, full of vandalism, and there's tons of trash everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really cool as well. Like, he doesn't cut any corners to just, like, not draw cars, which are, like, super a bitch sometimes.
Sure.
Or, like, not draw extra people. He draws, like, a dog walking around. Like,
love that.
I really like the sense of detail that he puts into it.
In that, like, Larry King interview, they're talking about how expensive it is to, like, have the team and do all this research. And Larry King's, like, trying to find out why, because there hasn't really been too many threats.
Yeah.
So this is, like, still, like, a new, like, world, you know, there isn't these, like, Thanoses or whatever that are, like, threats. They're just, like, a few things here and there.
No one's, like, necessarily asking for it.
They don't need, like, this big bad team, you know, for whatever they might have to face.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of cool.
It is cool. It's just like putting funding into the military kind of deal as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
So Bruce and his girlfriend, but they're on a break, Betty Ross, they're talking. And I think Betty is basically like the head marketing person for the Ultimates. And no one's kind of showing up to this press junket besides Giant Man. And they kind of like argue back and forth for a bit. And Banner's like kind of about like Banner still not figuring out this super soldier serum and shit. But later, Fury and Banner tried to recruit this god named Thor that's kind of been chilling in Norway. And Thor was purposefully ignoring Fury's calls and kind of takes like a hippie stance on the whole thing of like people coming together to form a team because working for America is corrupt.
Yeah, man. And he like lives in a car or something.
He's like, that's the man wants you to be a part of this team, but I know that's corrupt, you know?
Yeah, and he's drinking beer.
He's like Bro Thor, but like a hippie.
Definitely Bro Thor.
Yeah. I like this version of Thor. He's got like got some facial hair. He's kind of like just down to earth in general.
Yeah.
I think he's the only like genuinely like good guy.
But it's not like, well, no, he's not willing to like help essentially.
Yeah, but because he thinks that this team eventually will be too much under like a government control that it'll start to be a negative effect.
Fair. But
also Captain America's pretty good too.
Isn't there something weird about this Thor? Like he like didn't come from like Asgard, but he had some sort of mental breakdown when he was like 12 and he
I think
he's always been on Earth, but I guess he had some sort of mental breakdown and had been in like not a sane asylums but like psychology places or whatever,
to like a therapist, you mean?
Therapist, I guess. Yeah.
Well, he does say that he was sent from like his father Odin, who's a god, and he says that he's like the son of a god, but I think the approach that they go with it is like you're not sure if he's actually a god or if he's just like some dude that has this like cool alien weapon hammer.
Yeah.
And I think that's supposed to be the approach.
Like they don't necessarily believe him, I guess.
Yeah, they don't. But they know that he can like do things at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's weird. But he decides not to show up or to be a part of the Ultimates. So that's a dead end on their end. They also like name drop Hawkeye, but I guess he is a part of the team, but he's on vacation right now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny. But anyway, weeks later, the Ultimates have nothing to do, and they're talking about like merchandising and movie options and shit. Like kind of weird thing for Avengers to talk about, but I guess if they have nothing to do, then that makes sense. But they offend Bruce when talking about who would play him in a movie, which I think they said Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, dude, that's like the worst thing you could say.
I like Steve Buscemi.
No, you don't.
I do. Well, they're also like name dropping people like Johnny Depp. Or they said, like,
that's for like
Matthew
Tony
McConaughey
Stark.
Would be, like, a good giant man.
And then they said Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
For Tony Stark. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, they didn't say it for Tony Stark. They just say that, they say something about Robert Downey Jr., but about him being, like, a drug addict, because he kind of was at the time.
Okay.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah.
So while Bruce Banner is like super down bad, he takes Cap's blood mixed with the Hulk serum and he injects that into himself. And while he's like about to change, he calls Betty, who's on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr., and tells her he did this so that the Ultimates would have something to do and like something to fight.
Look at this panel where like the word balloon is right in front of his face. I guess they didn't get approval for his likeness.
They did not. But he's like talked about it since then. I guess he's like a pretty big comic like nerd, and someone like tagged him in like a picture where like it shows like his name, and then he like tweeted back and was like, "We've worked things out." Or me and the Hulk worked things out kind of deal. So he's super cool about it.
For sure.
So Betty's on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr., this Hollywood hot man.
Hot man. Bruce Hot Banner's man. In an ambulance. They're trying to like revive him or whatever, or give him CPR and whatnot.
And he turns into the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ultimates suit up to go fight him. So it's pretty crazy. I do like this. There's a page where we see what is this place called? Manhattan?
Down Square. Downtown Square.
Something like that. But it's like that. The big building with like a bunch of screens on it.
Motherfucking
Manhattan Square?
No. Times Square.
Times Square.
Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, so he's in like Times Square and he's turning into the Hulk. And I'm just like looking at everything because it's a really cool city and I'm looking at all the ads and stuff. Did you see that Brian Hitch drew the Powerpuff Girls in top right?
Yeah, that's sick.
We see fucking Powerpuff Girls drawn by Brian Hitch, something I never thought I would see before.
I didn't know I wanted this.
Yeah, it looks great. I think we should get him on a Powerpuff Girls book.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, I am not crazy about this Iron Man design.
I like it because it's different. It almost looks like feminine.
It kind of does, I guess.
Just because it's like a little bit more like
smooth. That's not why I don't like it. I just want to be clear. But it's just like there's a lot of gray, like I guess like towards the middle of it. And it, I don't know, just not what I'm used to seeing, I guess. I feel like the helmet looks kind of funky too.
Yeah, it is a little funky. It's got like this spot in the back that like kind of pokes out.
Uh-huh.
He's got like much bigger forearms, but other than that, it's not too different. I still like it just because it is that different universe.
I like it because it is like, I do like the fact that it looks big and clunky almost.
Yeah.
And that seems like believable.
Because it looks like...
It looks like it'd be fucking heavy and like really hot in there.
Like a Mark One, like the first suit that he has.
You know? Yeah, like very early into his development, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's cool though.
So, yeah, so they suit up to go fight the Hulk. And so issue 5, the Hulk is climbing up this building to try and get Freddie Prinze Jr. And he's talking about how if Banner isn't enough, then maybe the Hulk is. So this is like a Hulk that like talks.
Yeah.
Which is I've always kind of liked, to be honest.
They're like dumb thoughts. But for some reason, if he gets like super horny.
He's very horny. Like he's an incel Hulk.
Like, yeah, he wants to like smash Betty.
And smash buildings.
Yeah. It's Hulk smash, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So I don't know why. And then I guess he like eats people.
So yeah, he's carnivorous in this state.
Yeah.
But the fact that his like thoughts are kind of, or his dialogue is like more barbaric, it makes me think that like some of his like inner thoughts that Bruce Banner's always kind of talking about is coming out.
Like his dick is talking.
Yeah, kind of. And normally that's filtered through the good man that is Bruce Banner, but it kind of tells us that like even this guy, Bruce Banner, is like super flawed as well.
Sure.
Which I like a lot. I think Down Bad Hulk is way scarier than just like a normal crazy Hulk.
Oh yeah, you have no idea what this dude's about to do.
This guy's like genuine like sex predator.
just like the look on his face, he's gigantic.
Yeah. He's, yeah, absolutely, like, just ginormous. This double page spread of him, like, jumping and just screaming Betty.
Yeah.
And his arms are out. It looks, like, very, like, apish or, like, a gorilla almost kind of deal.
Terrifying.
Looks great. So he's grabbed by Giant Man, and then Hulk breaks out of his hands and starts fighting his face. And then Iron Man swoops in, takes him to Grand Central before, like, the Hulk jumps out. And then Janet distracts Horny Hulk with some boobs.
She flashes him. Yep, very...
Very classy, and then
essential.
And then Captain America is dropped in a tank on top of him, which is super cool,
pretty metal.
And then Hulk like rips that open, and then they do like some surprising like hand to hand combat. But I guess it makes sense because they are both working off of Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah, so they're kind of equally matched.
Yeah. And then so yeah, so then Hulk starts beating up on him too. So. It's kind of cool seeing like Captain America go toe to toe with the Hulk, because as Nick Fury was saying before, he's tactically like a genius,
right?
And only like a tactical genius would go for this kick to the balls like Captain America does in this one,
right?
Which I think is pretty funny. But yeah, it's cool seeing them fight, and I think it works well as well. Like he's not too big to where Captain America like couldn't do any damage.
Yeah.
As well, so it's I think something like this is hard to pull off, but I think they do it well. Thor eventually comes down because the city is like actually in danger, so now he wants to help is the idea, and he starts beating down on the Hulk, and the Hulk manages like hit him super far away to go chase down Betty, who's about to escape in a helicopter, and he's saying shit again like don't leave Banner alone again, so he's like super down bad. I like Thor's costume in this though.
Yeah, no sleeves.
I love a glowy Thor with like glowy circles on him.
Oh yeah,
that shit's the best.
Looks like he's got like not like Mjolnir. It's like Stormbreaker.
Yeah,
where it's like the hammer with the axe.
That's part. The idea.
But he still calls him Mjolnir.
Yeah, Stormbreaker is like the ultimate universe like hammer, and that eventually made it into like the Marvel universe, and that's what Beta Ray Bill uses.
Ah,
fun fact.
Very fun.
Speaking of which, Beta Ray Bill came out today by Daniel Warren Johnson. I'm very excited to read it.
Ah, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So, while Hulk is hanging on to the helicopter, Cap is trying to, like, weigh his options and, like, what to do next. But luckily, Janet, as Wasp, like, manages to make her way into his head and into where his frontal lobe is, and then she stings him. And then this causes Hulk to freak out, and he crashes onto the ground, turning him back into normal naked Banner. Again, another naked character, but that's fine. Makes sense. And then he tries explaining to Cap that he was trying to help the Ultimates, but Cap kicks him and knocks him out cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that issue ends. So it's a big fighting issue.
Definitely.
Flows really well, I think. Everybody kind of plays a part, but you can tell they're not like exactly a team yet because it wasn't them all working together.
Yeah.
It was definitely them working like individually almost.
Yeah, like they threw them like one at a time.
Yeah. Also, how does the Wasp work? How does she sting?
I didn't even notice that she stung him.
Yeah. So she says, just a little Wasp sting to the portion of his brain that makes him big, bad, and angry. And then that's what she does. So I guess she like does a sting, but she doesn't have like a stinger coming out of her ass.
Does she have like a weapon or something?
I don't know. I think it's kind of ambiguous.
I don't remember any kind of sting. So
maybe that's just like a phrase that she like uses when she says she's going to like punch somebody or something. But
well,
initially I thought like she must have some kind of stinger, whether it's like her fingernails or whatever, but I don't know.
So in this next issue, it talks about how she's actually like a mutant.
Yeah.
And so maybe she's got some sort of like ability to like have like some stinger come out of her ass. And
that's what I assume.
And
yeah.
Sting.
Issue 6, the city is like recovering along with Banner, who's in the Hulk chamber and he's resting. It looks like the one that's in the first Avengers movie, which is kind of cool.
It does. That's neat.
Yeah. And then all of the Ultimates get tons of like interviews and positive publicity for the event. And Stark invites everyone over to his place for dinner. So that's kind of nice. I always like the design choice of like a rounded square to make it look like a TV, like for interviews and shit. It's like the kind of thing that happens in like Mr. Miracle a couple times.
Definitely.
Yeah, I like that. Steve and Thor show up to Stark's house. Thor says that he still doesn't want to join the team, but he just wants to fulfill his duty bestowed to him by his father to help purify the earth from getting itself killed, basically. So he does mention like Odin.
Yeah.
But I think they're still kind of on the edge of like really believing that.
I'm sure all these people have their own series that fleshes that out a lot more.
Yeah, I guess Ultimate Thor is like really good. So.
Okay.
Tony then reveals that he is helping out the Ultimates, not for fame or money, but because he has an inoperable tumor in his head and with little time left. So he's been trying to give back as much as he can.
Mm.
And I think at this time, this is like a bigger reveal because this is a universe where people can die and stay dead because there's no fiscal reason to like really bring them back. Whereas in normal continuity, if someone dies, you're like, oh, they'll be back in 4 months, 6 months or whatever.
Right.
But in something like this, if someone dies, that's it. Like there's a very real chance that could be it for them.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's cool that Tony Stark is kind of on like a clock. Big fan of that. But then meanwhile, Janet was getting ready for this dinner, and then her and Hank get into like a big argument. Hank was like trying to figure out his Ant-Man helmet when he should have like been getting ready for dinner. And we find out that Janet is like a mutant, and Hank took credit for giving her shrinking powers so that he could become like a well-known scientist, even though that was her powers already.
Right.
And then Janet does like gross things, like lay eggs and like have bad body hygiene because she's like a mutant that's kind of like a wasp. I don't know, just random things that they say. But so they get into a fight, and Hank kind of throws the first punch, and then it becomes into a bigger fight where Janet starts using her powers to like shrink down. Hank uses some bug spray that like really burns her skin, like very brutally.
Fucked.
And then in the heat of it, Hank uses his Ant-Man helmet and controls like hundreds of ants that gang up on her and kill her in the midst of this fight. And that's how this trade ends.
Kills her?
Kills her.
How do you know?
Because it's very heavily implied, because at the very last page, he's like, shit, what did I do? He's like, oh my God, Jan, what have I done? And Hank is like telling her to stop. And you can kind of like see in his eyes that he's not stopping whatever he's doing when he's controlling these ants.
Because
he's saying like, you shouldn't have made me look small, Jan. You shouldn't have made me look small. And his eyes he's like dead in the eyes, basically.
Okay.
So I think that's something that like actually happens.
Shit.
And so that's, again, just like we were saying, she's probably dead for good. And now Hank has to try and figure out a way to cover this up from like the Ultimates.
Right.
So it's a very cool way to like leave it off, but it's like a lot heavier than I expected as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like that, I love the fact that the main, that there isn't just some big villain that is like the main part of this plot.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of character development and side, side like stories and stuff like that that are progressing.
Yeah, it's really cool to have like a team book of superheroes, but there's no villains in it. Like they're all just like bad people in and of themselves, and it gets them into like these weird situations.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm a big fan of it. What'd you think of it? What would you rate it?
You know, I like it a lot. I don't know if it's something that I'd revisit often. I remember liking it the first time I read it, which was like a couple years ago.
Oh, so you read this already?
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. This is my first time reading it.
Yeah, it's really up there with like those Google lists of best Marvel books and whatnot. Yeah.
I think this one's more of like a longevity kind of book for sure because of all the developments and stuff that they make later on.
Yeah, definitely. I think I give it like a very generous like it.
Okay.
As far as the Cold Stone goes. Because like love it is like I'm gonna read more and then gotta have it. It's like this shit's awesome. You know, it's still a super quality book. But I just don't think it has enough for me to say I love it.
Yeah, I think I would put it as an I love it. So kind of like that mid-range. I think it's just really interesting to see. It's a great creative team. And I think that if I'm just evaluating the book itself, I think it's a love it. But I'm sure if I were to read more, it'd probably turn into a gotta have it. Just because he's Mark Millar and Brian Hitch, they're taking risks. And ultimately, it seems like they've pulled off. And that's the shit that I like. So the Ultimate Universe is very appealing to me. I just haven't read a whole lot of it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to it. This wouldn't be a bad place to start.
Yeah, exactly. So very good. So with that, we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. And there's no back matter, Nathan.
No back matter, Nathan.
That's some bullshit. I'd love to see some pencils of this shit.
I know. Yeah. Brian Hitch back matter. Are you kidding?
Oh, killer.
I would love like it.
Just like drawings of cities.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
More cities.
More cities.
But with that, we'll go into the pull list, colon, shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What did you pick up this week from the shop?
We got Batcat number 4.
Yep. Pick that up.
I haven't decided on the Beta Ray Bill, but I probably will, just because.
Dana Warren Johnson.
Yeah, legend.
You got to pick it up.
Got to do it. And then Strange Adventures number 9.
Correct.
I had a very small week this week for me.
So I picked up those three things. I also picked up Crossover. And then
Are you reading that?
I'm going to. Crossover number 5 came out. And then
probably decide whether or not you're going to keep buying that. Read it.
I plan on reading it before issue 6 comes out. I want to read Stillwater and Crossover like really heavy 1 week.
Uh-huh.
I think this week I want to try and read all the Tom King stuff I'm behind on.
I haven't even finished Batman.
Like his normal run on Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're way behind that.
I'm like high 70s. I think it's like
85-ish, yeah.
Yeah, and so I keep buying Batcat.
The rest of it's good.
I bet it is. I'm just like in the middle of like City of Bane or whatever.
Yeah, okay, interesting. I picked up that, and then I also picked up Shadecraft by Joseph Henderson.
Shadecraft,
that came out as well today.
Yeah, that's the one number that I brought up that has like a movie deal already, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we talked about it, and that's why I picked it up.
Nice.
So, going to read all those, hopefully pretty soon.
Nice. Did you have any time to watch anything?
I watched some things. I also read some things.
Okay.
I'm catching up on Barbalian, so I just read issue 4. Or 1 through 4.
Okay.
And I'm about to read issue 5.
Nice.
You
liking it?
So good, dude.
It's unfair how good it is.
There's literally a page in there where I'm like, this is... Or actually, it's like 2 pages side by side where I'm like, this is like the best 2 pages I've ever seen, probably. Like, just how like creative it is and how much it means. Like, there's actual, like, meaning and weight behind it that is, like, super important and demonstrated in such a way that is just so good.
Right.
Because have you read it?
No.
It's kind of it's like a period piece almost about a point in time where, like, the LGBTQIA community was getting, like, a lot of hate because, like, gays and lesbians and stuff were causing like AIDS. And so a lot of people were like really scared of them almost and like discriminating them because of that.
Uh-huh.
And obviously like Barbalian is gay and as like a character. And so there's parts of Mars like shunning him from like Mars. And then there's people down on Earth as Mark Marks, as like a cop who part of his job is like almost like hunting down like gay meetups and stuff. Like it's very complicated and like very meaningful. It's some of my favorite Gabriel Walta stuff as well. I think he does Barbalian very well, but yeah, it's great.
Sweet.
So definitely recommend that whenever you get to it.
Yeah.
I imagine you have all five issues that I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know.
Yep. So that's the only thing I read, but I've also watched Solar Opposites, the first three episodes of season two. I love it. I think it's great. There's pretty good hook as far as wall people go.
Of what?
The wall people, the people in like Lumulax Wall, remember?
Oh, did that shit like develop?
It's like, it's getting really, I can't wait. That's like why I watch the show. And then like the main characters are just like the fun jokes in between.
Oh my God.
It's awesome.
You remember his name? Yumulak. Wow.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Corvo, Yumulak, then the two other ones. But episode three is like super funny.
Uh-huh.
It's about harnessing big dick energy. And it's so good, honestly.
It's relevant too. Very good.
There's like people with big dick energy, like actual people and celebrities that have big dick energy, and you're like, yeah, that guy definitely has big dick energy in it. So it's really funny so far. I just started watching it again because it came out on Friday.
It's all of it?
All of it, yeah.
Nice.
All eight episodes. So pretty crisp. I think they're like 20-25 minute episodes.
Yeah. So I just,
good show.
I just think of it like half hour, an hour shows. You know?
Yeah.
It's a half hour show.
Yeah. And it's the kind of show where I feel like I can't recommend it, but I don't know why, because I really enjoy it, but it's like kind of very specific comedy.
I didn't like it when you told me to watch it, and then you told me to finish it, and then I did. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's good. I like it.
I feel like most of the shows that I watch for me are like that.
It's definitely a show for me.
I would have to like really drill into somebody to see what they like in order to recommend some of the stuff I watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean.
I also watched the movie Nobody in theaters.
Oh, did you like it?
I fucking loved it.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
It's not like the easiest way to explain it is John Wick, but a dad. But dope. Because like Bob Odenkirk's character is like just a family man, and he used to be like a military auditor, which meant that people that owe the government money, he just goes and kills. But he's like out of that life now.
Uh-huh.
Because when he went to go kill somebody, he seemed like genuinely like regretting his thoughts. And later when he went, he let him go. And later when he went to go find him, he was like, he like had a family, and then that made him jealous. And so he got a family, but then that shit catches up to him, kind of deal.
Okay.
So not like the most original, I guess, background for a character, but the action is super fun. Christopher Lloyd is in it as his dad.
Oh.
And he gets action, and it's great.
Dope.
So I had a lot of fun playing it. It's just kind of like a good turn your brain off, and Bob Odenkirk's like a really great actor. I'm super big fan of him right now because I'm watching Saul, but
right.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I had a lot of fun with it, honestly.
Sick. Yeah, I've been wanting to see that because there's like a couple like decent movies to go see that are in theaters right now.
Yeah, and I was like, I left it, and me and Ben were talking, and I was like, that's probably like a, like, it's not like a AAA movie, but it's not like an indie movie. It's like a, just a single A movie, I guess.
Sure.
And I was like, maybe it's like a $50 million budget or something, because it looked pretty good. And I looked it up, and it was $16 million.
Nice.
And like, they did really, really creative shit with it too. So
I'm always impressed with like budgets and like how much people are able to accomplish with like those sort of things.
Yeah.
I think like, when I watch like indie movies, like that's what's most impressive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like being able to convey the story well with like the small budget. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it was cool. So I think it's definitely worth the watch.
For sure.
Of the things in theaters right now, between Chaos Walking, which I've seen, and then Nobody, I'd probably go see Nobody. But now Godzilla versus King Kong is out. So hopefully I'll get to see that this week.
Are you going to see it? Are you going to watch it on HBO Max?
Fuck no, dude.
No?
In theaters.
That's definitely a theater movie, for sure.
That's how I feel. What'd you watch?
For sure. So, I've had this movie on, like, my Prime list for, like, a while. It's called Vivarium.
Okay.
It's got Jesse Eisenberg in it, and that's the only actor I know. I turned it off.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I don't do that often.
That's awesome.
But I'm like, how much does this have? It's an hour and a half movie. It had 40 minutes left. I'm like, that's just Google what happens.
That's awesome.
So I heard it was, like, good from, like, people. It's like a horror movie, kind of. And, like, I can see why people would enjoy it, because it's, like, this couple who go to look at, like, this house in this, like, very weird neighborhood where all the houses are the same and stuff like that, and they're all, like, green and whatnot. And they, as they're checking out the backyard, the person who's, like, giving the tour, like, leaves. And so they try to leave, but they can't leave the neighborhood. And so they just, like, have to stay in the house and shit like that. And okay. So it's, like, it's not, like, a feel-good movie at all. It's supposed to make you feel, like, uncomfortable and shit like that.
Right.
And so this, like, baby's dropped off and, like, grows up in, like, a day. And so it's, like, this 8-year-old or 10-year-old kid who's, like, the most annoying thing. Like, it, like, screams when it's hungry, and it, like, never, like, listens, and it, like, fucking repeats what they say and stuff like that.
So very annoying.
Yeah, and it's just, like, and just the days go over and, like, keep repeating, and, like, they don't know what to do. They can't leave or whatever. They eat, like, shitty food. And it was just, like, super boring. And so it did its job of being uncomfortable and them actually feel like they're in hell or whatever. I guess it turned out that it's end up being some sort of thing for aliens. like, aliens, like, trap humans in order to raise their young or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
I probably would have turned it off too.
I'm glad I turned it off. It was just because, like, the world that they're living in, I'm like, this fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would hate to be in that point. And then the kids screaming just got so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I hate that shit too.
And so it's like, yeah, it just turns off. And so,
gnarly.
Yeah. Don't watch that.
I will not.
And then
the fat W's.
Fridays are for the fat W's.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the fat W's.
Yes, sir.
All the boys are together, Daniel.
What do you mean?
Falcon, Winter Soldier, Captain America, his black friend. What's his name? Winston?
Black Star.
Battlestar.
Battlestar.
Not Black Star. That's problematic. And so are a lot of the things that they bring up in the show.
How so?
Well, I guess that's not the best way to say it, but, like, I like that there's, like, social dilemma in the show where there's, like, people, they're, like, talking about, like, a lot of racial, I guess, issues in it. So there's Bucky's friend that was a super soldier, and he was, like, black.
Yeah.
In it as well. And, like, the way that he gets treated when he, like, comes back isn't super well.
Yeah.
And then later when Bucky and, like, Falcon are arguing on, like, the street and the cops show up, they immediately go to Falcon. They're like, this guy bothering you? Like, kind of deal, like, to Bucky. And so I like some of that stuff coming up. The police stuff.
Yeah, they don't realize, good. Like, who he is.
Yeah.
I'm happy that there's, like, a team up. Like, they were, like, separate the first episode, but just them being together, like, that's, like, what I want to see.
Exactly.
And that's what I expect from the show.
How do you feel about new Cap?
I didn't recognize him at first, but, like, I know that actor, like, White Russell.
Yeah.
Him without a beard, I've just, like, never seen, so it looks weird.
Apparently, he auditioned to be original Captain America.
Yeah, and then they got him back for that, which is
they're
really
like,
cool.
Yes, but wait 10 years.
Like, maybe.
Maybe after this guy.
And yeah, we'll call you back.
Yeah, and then he calls after Endgame, he's like, so...
But he's... I like his character, you know, and, like, his credentials and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously don't like why there's a Cap or whatever.
Yeah. I think he seems like a really, like, nice, decent guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, at first. And then I just don't like him by the end.
Yeah, I don't want him there either. Like, I'm on the fat W side.
I think, like, the fat W's were very, like, mean to him at first. And I was like, he's just, like, he's done all this thing. He's got Medal of Honor. He's just jumped on grenades, too, you know?
It's like when there's a new kid in the friend group or something.
Yeah, it's, like, it's... You gotta think of it from his perspective as well. Yeah, but then by the end, he's kind of, like, a dick about it, honestly.
Yeah,
because, like, they didn't want to work with him, and then all of a sudden, he's just, like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, see the fuck out of my way or whatever he says.
So by the end, I didn't like him. But yeah. I really like Sebastian Stan's like performance in this episode because you can really feel Bucky's just pain seeing this guy run around as Captain America with his like shield and everything. You can tell that it just like royally pisses him off.
Sure.
And just makes him sad. So I like that aspect.
Apparently, Emphis Nest is in this. Did you recognize?
Say that again.
Emphis Nest.
What is that?
So that was like the bad guy in, or one of the bad guys in Solo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember they had like the big old mask and they took it off and ended up being that like girl?
That's the Star Wars character's name?
Yeah, Emphis Nest.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that she was in Solo, yeah. She's in Game of Thrones, I think, too, but.
I don't remember, but I was like, oh.
She's cool.
That's Emphis Nest. And so that was like one of the dumb comments that like I thought to myself.
She's cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
her leader of the like, Flag Smashers, I guess.
Yeah, and they're all buddies and they're all like super soldiers, which is fun.
Yeah.
And I don't cool. I don't understand their motives though. It's like weird bad guy motivation.
No, it's cool. But I think I'm behind them.
To me?
So they want a world without borders. So
they want
every
to be, like,
people
one world
all acting as one and helping each other as one. So they just want like everybody, but not like separated by country and borders and stuff.
I don't feel like that's like a cause to kill people for.
I don't think they want to kill people, but they're doing
they're also
shady things.
Super soldiers, though. So
I guess they expected to kill people. Yeah,
is that something?
Look, they're not pacifists. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
They want to overthrow everything so that they're Ozymandiasing it. I think so that
maybe.
They just like will have everybody come together as one.
That doesn't seem like a job that like five people can do.
Nah, not with that attitude. So yeah, I do kind of like them as like villains so far.
Yeah, as far as like the action portion, it's pretty neat.
I like the action on top of the two trucks. I think that was very interesting.
Yeah, the truck scene was cool.
Dude, Bucky fucking hauls ass. Did you see him run?
Yeah, dude. I forgot that they can
He's
do
like,
that.
They're leaving. He goes, he fucking catches
Falcon
up to him.
Falcon fucking flies, and then he's just like...
Trying to catch up to Bucky.
Yeah.
So funny. I think it's... Something that kind of bothers me a little bit in the show is that they seem to like very unnaturally flip between like being brooding and being bantery. You know, because there's a scene, you know, the scene where they're like looking at each other and their knees are interlocked or whatever.
Yeah.
It goes from like the scene before that, they're like pissed off at each other. And then in that scene, they're like making jokes at each other. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of goes back to being brooding.
I think
and,
it like, was like the jokes because they're being forced to talk to each other and not like, like.
It seems like their attitude changes though, like a little bit, at least to me. Like, I get that situation is funny, and like I really did enjoy the banter like between them, and I laughed at it. It just seemed weird to like flip-flop kind of back and forth.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it didn't stick out to me that much.
Okay, that's good. Maybe it was just me, but...
Yeah, and so I guess they like gotta go see Zemo for some reason?
I wasn't completely clear on that, but if I were to guess, I think they want him to break apart the Flag Smashers or break apart Captain America.
I think he knows... where they came from, essentially.
Yeah.
Because they went to Isaiah, which was that super soldier that's old now.
Yeah.
To try and get an idea of where they came from.
Yeah.
And so Zemo had all the super soldiers in Civil War, but, like, killed them or something.
Oh,
so
yeah. Maybe
I guess he'd be the only one who...
would know more about super soldiers.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
It looks like I think they eventually start working with him. Like...
I thought he was, like, the villain in this.
That's what it seemed like, but now that I think about it, it seems like
what kind
it'll
of
be like Flag Smashers is like an enemy of both Fat W's and Cap, and then eventually I think Cap will be more of like a bad guy almost. I don't know. I'm interested to see how it turns out though. But I feel like genuinely that they're gonna work like side by side with Zemo because they'll have some sort of unified motive.
So is US Agent like ever become like a villain?
He's not a good guy. But I don't think he becomes, like, villain.
He's, like, always on, like, the side of the government or whatever.
Yeah. More so than, like, Cap was.
I was kind of expecting him to be, like, a villain almost.
I don't think he will technically, but I don't think we're going to like him very much by the end of this.
Just, I don't even like him now. He's kind of a prick.
He's all right. I mean, he's just doing his job right now. I feel like he's just kind of a dick about it.
And that's the worst kind of person.
But then, like, I feel like he'll feel way more like a villain by the end.
I don't know why the feeling that Bucky and Falcon have towards him is so relatable. I don't know what situation I'm like upset with. maybe it's like getting a new quarterback or something on your team. Like, you're not him.
I feel like when you
dare you stand where he stood.
I feel like when you get a new manager at your like work, and it's someone that just doesn't know anything about like the company, like they come from outside the company, maybe. And I'm like, you don't even know what you're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
I should have had that.
Okay, so I think that's how
maybe something like that.
That makes sense.
But anyway, that's it for that. And let's talk about Invincible.
Oh my God, Nathan.
Oh my God, Daniel.
This show was the tits.
It was so good.
I was like on the verge of bursting into tears because how fucking excited I was about this.
Dude, there was a couple times where I'm like, this is so fucking good. And I almost like started crying.
man up because I was watching with Sarah. And yeah.
I thought that was just me because when I was watching it, I was like having like a fever because of the like, shot. And I was like, am I just emotional? But like I think it's genuinely great.
It's like so well executed. The pacing's incredible. It's not like panel for panel the comic, which I'm totally okay with.
Yeah,
they're not expecting that. They're taking like the good bits that work and adapting it to TV. Yeah. And it's awesome. Such a superstar cast.
Oh yeah,
I have to say that like Rexplode is like the perfect casting.
Jason Mantzoukas, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I do get a little bit of Jay vibes from
Big Mouth.
That's like what I think about.
I totally forgot about that. You just ruined it for me. Thanks.
You're welcome. But it's cool that they like tweaked his character to be like matching like skin tone like Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah,
because normally like, Rexplode's like a pale redhead dude, right?
They're all kind of pale.
Fucking Adam Eve is like the best fucking Green Lantern I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's the Green Lantern we deserve.
It's fucking annoys the shit out of me. It's so easy. She's so cool. Just do that.
She puts up shields. It's easy.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it looked cool. She's the best one on the fucking team. Just do that, DC Animated Universe or movie writers or whatever. It's not that fucking hard.
I'm sorry.
That's all I have to say. I tweeted that, but
yeah, no. Kirkman writes a better Green Lantern than DC
because it's not fucking hard. Well, I mean, I like comics Green Lantern.
Sure.
But yeah, he writes on-screen Green Lantern better than most people. But yeah, she's really cool.
Starting kind of at the beginning, there's like this odd like security guard dialogue that was going on. I have no idea why.
I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm like, don't worry, it's a superhero show. Like, it's getting there. And then like the Mahler twins are attacking the White House trying to kill the president.
And it's like
stopped by like the Guardians of the Globe.
And it was like very status quo, like Guardians or like just superhero stuff, like right at first.
It did feel like that, yeah.
I'm super happy that they introduced the Omni-Man twist, like
first episode. I was thinking that'd be the end of the season.
Because, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too, because it feels like that big of a reveal.
Because that was like issue like 15, I think.
Because like the hook of the show is, I think, different from like the hook of the comic.
Yeah, they had to kind of rearrange things. So that to, like, made, grab people's that interest. Made, like yeah. In relation to like the first issue, that was like a strong fucking pilot.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't like love, you know, the action or whatever, the fact that this is an animated show.
Yeah.
Omni-Man's fucking evil. And so it's like.
And so bloody. Things got so fucking bloody.
They definitely like stretched out that scene to like make that brutal.
I was horrified and wanted it to be over, but I wanted to keep going.
I was like, oh my god.
I've never wanted something to keep going but also end at the same time, because I was like, this is so much.
When he fucking smacked Darkwing on the floor and like his
fuck yeah,
and then he squished like Red Rush's head
and his eyes like popping out and shit.
It's fucking brutal.
It's awesome. I'm glad they didn't hold back on any of that.
Yeah, that was awesome. He like snaps the neck of like War Woman.
Yeah,
he was so sick.
We see Rexplode getting duplicated.
Yeah, that was really early too. That was cool to see.
I think that's cool.
I like that scene just because it's funny, because it's like multiple duplicates.
Yeah. Like Kate comes out and it's like
he's like
the second Kate.
Yeah.
And then you like think two more be able to like out.
Communicate a little bit more, be like, don't come out.
Dude, the amount of like duplicates that got like fucked up in the Flaxian like war scenes.
Yeah, they just got fucking demolished. I'm like, what is she doing? Just like making duplicates to
just like just in time,
just to
I guess.
Take hits or whatever.
I guess so.
Those
were like big action scenes too.
Oh yeah.
Those
are a lot more exciting than what the book was. But they like had like, you know, them coming back multiple times and the teen team doing it.
The only I think issue I have with it is when Omni-Man wakes up out of his coma and like no one really asks him like who does it like immediately right then.
It's because,
not even like Invincible or the mom like really asks him like what happened, oh my god.
Well,
and like he does eventually like explain it, but he doesn't like It's not like in that scene, which I felt like was a little weird.
I think they're just happy he's like okay, but which
I believe that. But then
think the blame wasn't necessarily like on him right away, just because he was beat up too.
Yeah.
But I liked. There's something different that I noticed is that Omni-Man was like really worried that Mark got his powers so late, and I think that's because he's thinking like Mark would be easier to like manipulate into being on his side if he got his powers younger.
Yeah. I think he was worried that he wouldn't get them in general and then he wouldn't be able to help him do his ulterior goal.
Yeah, potentially.
That's kind of what I picked up, but I think you're right as well.
Do you remember Demon Darkblood or no. Damien Darkblood? I didn't remember Hellboy? Him at all. Yeah, the Hellboy guy.
He is in the comic, but he doesn't play as big of a role as he is in this show.
Yeah, he's not in it as much. It seems, I was like,
because I looked it up because I was like, I remember seeing this guy, but he basically finds out that Omni-Man is a bad guy after everybody else already finds out that Omni-Man is a bad guy, and it's like a joke.
Right.
But I like the role that he's playing in this because he looks cool.
Yeah.
He's like a Hellboy slash Constantine kind of mix-up.
Right.
Slash the question. Right. But yeah, he's really cool. Cecil's cool. I like the whole organization.
Yeah, I like the voice actor. He's like an actor. He's like,
yeah,
I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he seems pretty good. Did you see like One Punch Man at the funeral?
I did. Yeah, I was like,
is that One Punch Man?
I literally rewinded it, and I was like
the colors are like swapped, and then he's at like the recruitment for Guardians of the Globe too, but he's just like nobody.
Also, Underwater Welder was like name dropped.
Yeah, there was a couple name drops like that as far as like comics. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's a comic.
That's a fucking great comic. Yeah, it's the first like Jeff Lemire stuff that I read, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty early on. So that's cool. Just like, I don't think that was in.
I'm glad that he's like gassing up other people. Like,
yeah, definitely. Like, hey, let's make everyone have shows and shit.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
So
there's like a thing that kind of annoys me. It's not obviously that big of a deal, but they say like science dog instead of science dog. Have you noticed that?
I haven't noticed that, but I'll have to look at it, I guess.
I don't know if there's some sort of copyright thing or maybe
it's his property.
I don't know why, but
like it's his even company that produces
even
it.
The subtitles say like science dog, like
science
dog. Like they say it wrong.
I'm sure it'll come up again. I'll look out for it.
But that's kind of bugs me.
Is Amber or whoever the new girl, the other girl is she new or was she always a character? Because I don't remember her.
I don't know if she looked that way, but I think there was like another girlfriend that he had before Adam Eve.
Okay.
That
sounds about right. She's voiced by Zazie Beetz.
Yeah, I'd look that up. That was cool.
It's very cool. The whole time I was like, I was watching on my phone because I was like sick or whatever, but I kept tapping the screen because then the actors come up.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
That's the best thing that Amazon Prime has. As far
especially for this because of how many fucking people are in it.
Yeah.
Like the dude who plays Robot is the same dude who plays like...
Zachary Quinto, I believe.
What's the dude from... Yeah, Zachary Quinto. He plays Spock. So he's got like that like monotone kind of voice. And it's
perfect.
Like, perfect. He's so good.
Speaking of perfect, J.K. Simmons, great.
Oh, 100. Great.
Oh, God.
There was
so good
when he was talking. There was something that they added, like how he's explaining like how to fly and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like some part where he's talking about like, oh, it's like peeing your pants. I'm like, what? I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. I
got the analogy. Like, you don't naturally think that like, let me pee my pants right now because like it's kind of hard for you to do that yourself.
Yeah.
If I couldn't really do that right now if I tried because my body wouldn't let me.
It was still cool to see, like...
But, like, if it's life or death, you'll pee your pants.
For sure.
I think that's the point they're trying to make.
Yeah, he's perfect. The entire cast is killer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, at the end of the third episode, I think, they show that Robot revealed that he released the Mahler twins.
Yeah. I can't remember how that resolves, so I don't want you to tell me. But I do remember that he's doing some sketchy stuff.
Yeah, he ends up, you know, he's sketchy, you know, for a bit.
Monster Girl's in this. She's really cool.
Yeah, I love Monster Girl. That was so cool.
She's a great character, honestly.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't really make sense that she would sign up for Guardians of the Globe if she knows what her limitations are.
What do you mean?
If she gets younger every time she turns into a monster, why would she volunteer to go to the Guardians of the Globe?
Where she's still like a hero, though. I guess, yeah.
So I can't remember how that plays out either, but... Very cool character still.
I could spoil it. I know that she gets older eventually.
Okay, cool. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, to where like that's not like an issue. But anyway, anything else you wanted to bring up?
It's great. Can't wait for the next episode. Should be out right now as you're listening to this. But oh, yeah. Not out for us.
Let me look it up.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker.
Is it out?
It's out.
Oh, no.
God damn it. I can watch it now.
Text him now.
He sent me a fucking message. He's like, what'd I tell your stupid ass?
That's awesome. Maybe I'll fucking see if I can watch it when I get home. But let me get home. That's the end of this episode. Or no, it's not. We got to figure out what we're reading next week.
Ah, shit.
We have a couple different things. So, we're going to be doing DC this week.
What did we do last week?
We did Invincible.
That's right.
So.
I had a couple ideas.
Okay.
So you know how like Superman and the Authority is coming out at some point? I think that's in like November, but we could wait for that point. But reading the Authority.
We already did a Mark Millar, Brian Hitch thing this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
We talked about Midnighter the other week. I think that'd be a good one.
Let's just do Midnighter.
Midnighter?
Yeah, I've always wanted to read that, and it's pretty high regarded.
Yeah, I think that Steve Orlando did it.
Yeah, I think that's like his only like good thing he did.
Oh, jeez.
Have you read some of his shit?
Yeah. He's got a good Vertigo book.
A Vertigo book?
Yeah, the icy one. I can't remember.
Oh, that's something I read. I read like the first issue of like Snow Angels, the Comixology original with Jock and Jeff Lemire.
Is it good?
It's like a book.
Cool.
And then I was like halfway through the second one. So this one, 160 pages, 7 issues.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, dude, ACO. I haven't seen his name in a minute.
What does he normally do? It's familiar, but I can't tell you what he does.
I think like his brother FCO does like a lot of like Batman stuff.
Who's naming these kids?
It's like. Like, FCO is, like, Francisco.
Oh.
And I don't know why.
ACO did some Spider-Man, some Batman Eternal, Deathstroke, Milk Wars, some Uncanny X-Men. That's probably why I know his name, actually, because I read that. But anyway. All right, Midnighter. I'm cool with that.
Midnighter.
Bit of a new thing.
Volume 1 out. Sounds good. First 7 issues.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's the show for this week.
It sure is, Nathan.
You can reach us a couple different ways. If you prefer email, you can do tradewaiterspod@gmail.com. Let us know what books you like. Let us know what you thought about Invincible.
Tell us what to email. If you listen to this right, or tell us what to read.
Tell us what email. To email. Yeah.
If you're listening to this, open up your email right now.
And compose. Email something. Or tweet at us at tradewaiterspod.com. Yeah. It's a little bit more millennial, I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah, at tradewaiterspod.com, or just follow us to look at the stuff that we tweet. I'm also at more like Nate Thick, and Daniel does social media things too.
Yeah, but you can follow Nathan though.
Okay. That's the show for this week. We will see you next week.
Alrighty.